Atlantis ISS, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event on Space to Ground 1?
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. Please stand by for the NASA Summer of Innovation questions for students.
We go to Burbank Middle School. Our question is,
how do you feel of this being your last launch up to space?
Well, thank you for that great question from Burbank Middle School. It's just a last shuttle launch for us. That doesn't mean we can't fly in space again. There's going to be lots of opportunities. We're still flying folks aboard Russian Soyuz rockets to the space station. And we've got some commercial companies that are building rockets now. So maybe a ride on one of their rockets in the near future. And then NASA's in the process of building a new rocket that will go outside of Earth's orbit, perhaps to the moon or Mars. So going to be a lot of great opportunities to fly in space for the foreseeable future. Thanks for the question.
Hi, my name is Maurice Scholes. I go to Galveston Early College High School. And my question is, are the spacesuits itchy?
Well, thanks, Maurice. Actually, spacesuits aren't itchy. Even the ones when we go out and do a spacewalk, we have a nice, smooth undergarment we wear there, and it's not itchy at all. And it also has water tubes in it that go up and down and keep you cool, because obviously you get a little bit hot when you're out there working real hard. But they're pretty comfortable, and they gotta be, because when we go on a spacewalk, we can wear them for about 6.5-7 hours for the spacewalk, and then a couple hours getting ready. So it's a long day inside that spacesuit, and you certainly wouldn't want to get itchy.
Hi, my name is Reyes, and I'm from Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I was wondering how you guys replace the air that gets lost in the airlocks when you're moving in and out, and yet that gets soaked through the cabin walls.
Well, Reyes, that is a very important issue when we do a spacewalk. We don't want to let too much air get outside of the vehicle. So what we do is, before we go out and do a spacewalk, we go into a small room called an airlock. And once we get into the airlock, when you're inside our spacesuits, we close the door behind us. And then we let the air just out of that small room. And then once that small room is at vacuum, then we can go out a different door, and then we can go out and do our spacewalk. When we do come back in, we do the process in reverse. And then the question is, where do we get the extra air from that we lost? We don't lose too much, but when we do lose a little bit of air, we bring some up with our resupply spacecraft.
Thanks, Alexis, and the 2011 RoboCamp. That's a great question. I think, me personally, I would love to go to Mars, but an asteroid or the moon would be very exciting as well, because we've done some exploration of the moon, if you remember, way back in the 60s and 70s, but we've got a long way to go there. But if I had a choice, I would love to go to Mars. Thanks for the question.
Hi, my name is Carlos Gilhernandez, and I go to Parker, but I came here to Illinois. My question is, how many pieces of trash is in space?
Well, actually, there's small bits of old rocket parts or satellites and stuff like that, so there are very, very many. There's probably over 1,000. And what we do is, if a big piece comes toward the space station, we will maneuver the space station, change the orbit a little bit so that the piece of debris won't hit us. Now, there's also little tiny specks, and those we can't really see. So if they hit us, we have shielding on the outside, so it shouldn't do any damage to the space station.
We go to Burbank Middle School. Our question is,
what's going to happen to NASA after the last mission?
Actually, thanks for that question. NASA will be around for a long time to come. You know, we will finish up the shuttle program here in just a few days, and then we embark on our next adventure, which is going beyond the orbit of the Earth to Mars or an asteroid or to the moon. So we've got plenty to do. We're going to continue to fly up here on the International Space Station for at least the next 10 years or so. So we'll have crews always up here. Thanks for that question.
Hi, my name is Austin Bright at Weiss Middle School in Galveston, Texas. My question is, what kinds of food do you take into space?
Well, that's a very good question, Austin. Just so happens that you caught us just before lunch, so we can show you a little bit of what we have here in space. You can eat lots of different kinds of food. Some of it is dehydrated. For instance, this is actually some spaghetti. And you can also have some stuff that comes in pouches that's kind of just basically ready to eat. So you can have vanilla pudding, for instance. That's what this is here. Or you can have some of your old favorites, too, like scrambled eggs. And a lot of these require just adding some water. And so you'll see they don't look necessarily like scrambled eggs yet, but they will, and they can be pretty good. Now, the important question is how do you know whose food is whose? Well, it's very important we have color codes. So Doug, as the pilot of Atlantis, his color code is yellow, and the commander is red. Now, I see Doug here has got the commander's scrambled eggs, so let's not tell the commander that Doug stole the scrambled eggs. So you got to be careful about that. Now, we also got a drink, too, so what we have is these drink bags here. And on these drink bags, they're just they're very easy to use. You just pop a straw in there, and then you can drink. So it works out great. This is, for instance, strawberry drink. You pop a straw in there, and you can sip it, and it tastes great. And the important thing, though, about drinks is if you just float them around with the straw open, then the drink can float all around and get all over the walls of the space station. So you got to be very careful, and they have a special valve on the top so you can close them off when you're not using them. Now, also, of course, we have to have some treats too. So, I think you guys will recognize these, some candy-coated chocolates. So it's always fun to have a little bit of candy also too, and it's fun to eat too because you can shoot them at each other. So you caught us at the right time, just about lunchtime. Those are the kind of things we eat.
My name is Anthony Tong, and I go to Galveston Early College High School, and I wanted to know if you ever get bored in space.
Well, thanks for that question, Maurice. No, we definitely don't get bored up here on the space station or on the space shuttle. We've got plenty to do while we're up here during the mission, resupplying the space station or maintaining the space shuttle. And then if we happen to get all our work done, maybe before we go to sleep at night, we can take a few minutes to look out one of the windows here out of the cupola, which has got several windows. So the last thing you do in space is get bored, that's for sure.
Hi, my name is Thomas, and my question is, do you feel heavy when you get back down to Earth?
Well, as a matter of fact, Thomas, when we get back to Earth, we do feel heavy. Right now, we're floating in zero gravity, so it's very comfortable. It's kind of like if you ever had a dream that you can fly. That's just what it's like, and it's so exciting to be able to fly around like Superman here on the space station. It's a lot of fun. Then when you get back to Earth, boy, you pay the price because you feel really, really heavy. But you got to remember if you wake up late at night or something and get out of bed that you're not back on the space station, because if you think you're back on the space station, you'll jump out of bed, try to float to go to another room, and you'll end up on the floor. So you feel very, very heavy when you get back to Earth.
I'm Renee, and I'm Steven, and we're from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our question is that if you can text or email in space or watch TV.
Well, thanks for that question, Renee and Steven. We can't really text, but we have email, and we're able to send email to our friends and family or coworkers. So we have that, and we We can watch DVDs on some of the laptop computers, but we don't actually have TV up here. So we do have a lot of the things that you have on Earth, but not all of them. But we don't get a lot of chances to watch much on DVD anyway, and email is just very quick. So thanks for that question.
Hi, my name is Destiny. I'm from Wise Middle School in Galveston, and my question is, how do astronauts sleep at night?
Well, Destiny, it's very fun to sleep up here at night because obviously floating, it's very, very comfortable. But you got to be careful because if we just fell asleep, we might float into another module and wake up and not know where we are. So we have sleep restraints. They're kind of like a sleeping bag that we tie across from one wall to the other. And you can put your sleeping restraint across a wall or across the ceiling or across the floor, wherever you want to. So it's very, very comfortable. They're like sleeping bags, except they zip up so they come around your shoulders so you don't float out at night.
My name is Brandon Torres.
My name is Eduardo Briones.
My name is Roberto Guzman, and I go to Burbank Middle School.
And my question is, who picks the members of the mission?
Well, thanks to Alan, Eduardo, and Roberto for that great question. You know, we were picked by the chief of the astronaut office, Dr. Peggy Whitson, and she's our boss. And obviously, her choices have to go through several bosses up above her at NASA, but primarily it's our boss, the chief of the astronaut office, who picks astronauts for different missions.
Boy, it's amazing. It's like the best roller coaster ride you've ever been on. It's kind of like getting shot out of a cannon. You go from zero to 17,500 miles an hour in 8.5 minutes. And it's an amazing ride, and the view keeps changing because it only takes about a minute or a minute and a half before the blue sky turns to jet black as you start getting into the upper regions of the atmosphere. And then in 8.5 minutes, the engines cut off, and everything starts floating. And it's a spectacular ride, and we really enjoyed our way up here.
Hello, crew from STS-135.
What is the time difference in space?
Well, thanks. That's a great question, and it's a bit of a complicated answer. On the space station, they typically use what we call Greenwich Mean Time, which means it's based on the time somewhere in England, and we use that time while we're on space station. But for shuttle missions, we also use what we call mission elapsed time, which means the clock starts at zero when we launch. So right now, we're at 8 days, 18 hours, and 53 minutes into the mission of STS-135. And just to complicate things even further, we go around the Earth so fast that every 90 minutes we have an orbit. So we get sunrises and sunsets 16 times a day. So it kind of gets a little confusing, but that's how we try to manage to maintain time. Thanks for that great question.
Hi, my name is Kiana Joseph from Wise ECU. My question is, why is there no gravity in space?
Well, Kiana, it actually just looks like there's no gravity. There is still gravity up here. And if we weren't traveling at orbital speeds, which is 17,500 miles an hour, if we were just took an elevator straight up here to this altitude and got out, we would fall back down to Earth. It's the fact that we're going 17,000 miles an hour that we have an orbital curve, and we curve around the surface of the Earth. So we're actually falling at the same rate that the Earth curves away. So it feels, for all intents and purposes, like there's no gravity up here, but there actually is gravity.
Hi, my name is Jamal Carroll, and I go to Weiss Middle School in Galveston, Texas. And my question is, how long do y'all stay up in space?
Well, thanks. That's a great question as well. For our mission, we're going to be up here roughly 13 days, but it really depends on the mission. My last mission, we were here 16 days, and then I'm sure Rex's were very similar. But then the crew members that stay up here on Space Station can stay as long as 6 or 7 months. So we're able to stay in space for a fairly long time. But for the shuttle missions, we typically stay, you know, a couple weeks.
I'm Jonathan, and I'm at a SEMA program. And I'm from Las Cruces. And my question is, can you listen to music in space?
Well, Jonathan, actually, we can listen to music in space. And as a matter of fact, this morning, for the first time, I used my iPod to listen to some music. I just was having a little trouble sleeping in, so I decided, well, I'll just listen to some music. And it was wonderful. I had a bunch of songs that I had selected to bring with me and put the headphones on or the earbuds in and got to listen to my favorite songs before I woke up this morning.
Sebastian Biss.
And I am Dorothy James. We are with the NASA Summer Camp at Vanderbilt Dyer Observatory in Nashville, Tennessee. Our campers are 5th and 6th grade students, and we have a question.
How many times have meteors hit the ISS?
That's a good question, Sebastian and Dorothy. No real large meteors have ever hit the ISS. As Rex said before, we have a network of radars and satellites that can track orbital debris, and if it's something that's large enough, we can move the space station in order to miss that. But the space station has been hit by what we call micrometeorites before, and they're really tiny, almost sand-sized pieces of meteorites. But typically, they don't do any significant damage to the space station, other than maybe putting a little mark in the surface or
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes the event.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Atlantis ISS and NASA Summer of Innovation students. Atlantis ISS, we are now resuming operational audio communications.